Well, for the remaining two messages, we need to come to see the status of the church. The church is a rich subject. It's, of course, like Christ is such a rich subject, and so is the church. The Bible uses many persons and things to illustrate, to typify not only Christ, but also the church. We know in the Old Testament, persons such as Eve, such as Sarah, Abraham's wife, Rebecca, and Shulamite, some of these females, they were used to illustrate, to typify the church. And in the New Testament, of course, then we have many also words used to depict what the church is. And among so many writers of the Bible, especially in the New Testament, that the Apostle Paul, being the top writer, he was the one who reveals to us the church is the body of Christ. Amen. From the book of Ephesians, of course, he also pointed out other types, things to illustrate the church, such as the household of God, such as the commonwealth of Israel, the new man, the bride, the warrior. All these were used to illustrate what the church is. But among so many of these items, the top one, the foremost item, and also the most basic item is the matter of the body. Especially from the book of Ephesians, among so many aspects, statuses of the church, Paul used to show us the matter of the church. The body of Christ is the most, is the foremost subject, foremost item, is the most basic item. In fact, Brother Lee says, which is significant, that you may say all the items, all the other items are subsidiary. The most basic item is the body of Christ. The church is the house. It's because it is the body of Christ. The church, as the body of Christ, is the house of God, is the habitation of God, is the commonwealth of Israel, is the new man, is the bride, is the kingdom. All the other aspects are built on this most basic aspect, status of the church, which is the body of Christ. Amen. Paul had this wonderful, marvelous revelation, realization that the church is not only some wonderful thing, the dwelling place of God, God's kingdom, and so forth. And he had this utterance, he had this realization to speak forth the church, which is his body. Amen. The body here is not used as an illustration. Actually, the body is actually Christ's body. Amen. We need to be impressed by this. When Paul says in Ephesians 1, 22, 23, the church, which is his body. That is really the body of Christ. The church is not likened to the body. The church is not just a body. The church is the body of Christ. Amen. So the body here is not used as an illustration, as a parable, as an allegory. Rather, the body actually is the body of this Christ. This is a marvelous realization. Tonight we come to this status of the church as the body of Christ, and I have to admit this is a colossal subject, which deserves conferences to cover this subject adequately, or even just barely scratching the subject. We need scores of messages to open up this colossal matter concerning the body. It is the most basic item, it's the most crucial, vital item in the revelation of the church. So tonight, within this, in the next 60, 70 minutes, I'll do my best to present something to you concerning this colossal subject on the body of Christ. And I would like to do that from four angles. Number one, to show you what is the body of Christ. And number two, to show you how this body of Christ come into being. And number three, how we experience and enjoy this body of Christ. And number four, how do we practically build up this body of Christ? Okay? So at least we are scratching the surface a little bit to hopefully, through this speaking, you will get to know a little bit what is the body of Christ, how this body come into being, and how we can actually enjoy, experience this body, and even to cooperate with the Lord to build up this body. The church is so wonderful. It is the body of Christ. I love this expression in Ephesians 1, the church which is his body. What an expression. The church is not an organization. The church is not a building with a steeple. The church is his body. You know, in the recent visit there to Europe, to Germany, I got a chance to travel a bit and visited some cathedrals, some churches. I went into a couple of these churches. I looked around and lots of people were in there. Of course, they were sightseeing. They were just, it's a museum, right? Basically, it's a museum. This is not churches. And it was somewhat dim. You know, these places, they are beautiful, stained glass, you know, ornate altar and candles and incense and coffins, burial places, right? It's all there too. And all the garb of the priests. And I was just visiting this so-called church, I was saying within myself, man, is this what the church, it is what people's impression about the church? If I were to ask someone on the street, you know, say, man, what is the church? What would his answer be? Oh, stained glass. Or organ, right? Or the altar, or the priesthood, or the candles, or the coffins. I wonder even in the church, Martin Luther was buried in one of those churches, right? And this is people's concept of the church. Within me, I was saddened. Lord, is this the church that you want to build? That you're after? Just a place of this majestic building, ornate ornaments, and all the structure. I was, you know, on the one hand, I was just kind of sightseeing. On the other hand, I was also just communing with the Lord. I was deeply touched that the degradation that the church is in today. This is not the body of Christ. This is a museum piece. This is just a kind of, today it's just totally is an organization, totally just a dead structure, has no life, has no light, has no love, just full of just the outward structure, formality, organization. So it even impressed me even deeply, Lord, you must have the church. Yes. You must recover the church. Yes. Thousands and thousands of people went into such places and really thought, this is the church. Oh, they admired, they took pictures, they really, you know, they're doing all kinds of things. They really thought, this is the church. But within you, with some knowledge of the word, you realize this is not the church. The church is the body of Christ. Amen. It's a living organism. Amen. I appreciate, you know, I think one of the sisters who testified last night, you know, having visited one denomination, you know, and caused her to really appreciate the church. Sometimes, you know, by our being living in the church life, you know, week in, week out, daily, you know, we don't appreciate what we have. We don't appreciate what we are in. Until you go outside, go into those chapels, go into those cathedrals, smell the incense, touch those coffins. You appreciate, oh, what a living God we have in the church. Yeah. We are living the church life. The church is not a building. The church is not a formality. The church is not some kind of an order. The church is a living being.
Amen.
Breathing, singing, rejoicing. This is the church. Oh, dear saints, don't you sense that there must be a recovery of the church? Maybe what I describe is somewhat an extreme, but this is actually fairly commonplace all over in Europe, in all these not only in Catholic churches, Protestant churches, Lutheran church. You see these things, and the Lord must recover the church in the organic way as. Firstly, as the most basic, foremost item, that is, the church is the body of Christ. As the body, which implies it is an entity full of life, full of function. Look at my human body. I'm not a statue. I'm not a statue. I'm a living person, breathing, heart pumping, blood circulating. Whether I speak, I don't speak, something is moving inside of me. The church is such a body, such an organism. I hope the Lord, by His mercy, would take all the veils away, all the layers of veils covering us, because of the background of Christianity that we have been under. We need a fresh unveiling, a refreshing, a rekindling of our heart toward the church. To see the church as the body of Christ. Now we come to this first point, which will help us to see what is this body. The body of Christ is, I said, is the most basic aspect of the church. It governs all the other aspects of the church, all the other statuses of the church. And it's mysterious, I admit. It's profound. For you to describe a building, that is easy. For you to describe some people as a congregation, that is not that hard. For you to describe the body, what is it? Even it's not easy to do even with our physical body, to describe. So let's see. Okay, the first point says Ephesians 1, 22 and 23 reveal that the church is the body of Christ. Amen. The church is not like a body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. He says the church is not an organization, but an organic body constituted of all the believers who have been regenerated and have God's life for the expression of the head. So the first point we need to see what the body of Christ is that this body is an organism constituted with life. Amen. With the divine life. And it's not actually not only the divine life, but it's a mingled life. The life that constitutes the church is a mingled life. The divine life mingled with the human life. Amen. The life lived out by the Lord Jesus when he was a man walking on the earth, he was divine, he was a God-man. The life that he lived out on the earth as a God-man, that is the very life that constitutes the body of Christ. The body of Christ is not a place for coffins. It's not a place for burial. The body of Christ is a place full of life. Amen. If you take life away, all we have left is just a corpse. And we know what is life. Life is not something, some kind of power, some kind of feeling. Life is a person. Life is our wonderful triune God, the processed and consummated triune God, received, enjoyed by us. He is life. As the Lord Jesus says, I am the life. Amen. He who has the Son has the life. Amen. Life is not some kind of feeling, some kind of goodness. It's some kind of excitement. Life is a person. When we have him, we have life. We have the Son, we have life. So the first thing we come to know about the body of Christ, it is an entity of life. This life is pumping. This life is moving. This life is circulating. So when life is absent, the body is no more. All that's left is a corpse. It's an empty shell. So here, we need to be impressed with this basic point, critical point, that is the church as the body of Christ must be an entity of life. It is organic. It is not an organization. Then point B, the body is the fullness of the head. And the fullness is the expression of the head. This point touches this aspect of the body of Christ, which connects to the head. The body, the church as the body of Christ, is not a headless body. If this evening I come in with the body of James Lear, but without the head, that would be terrible. I think everybody will run away. He said, oh, this is the body of James Lear here with us, praise the Lord. I mean, that is a terrible thing. How can you have a body without a head? When the Bible talks about the body of Christ, it is talking about a body under the head.
Amen.
If you study Ephesians chapter 1, which reveals to us the constitution of the body, how the body is produced through the divine dispensing of the triune God in his divine Trinity by dispensing himself as the Father, as the Son, as the Spirit into the chosen ones. By the Father dispensing his holy nature into us, his life into us, by the Son dispensing his element into us to make us the precious element, precious inheritance, and by the Spirit dispensing the precious essence into us for God to inherit. And then after seeing the dispensing of the triune God into his chosen people, then Paul says that our eyes may be enlightened to see the hope of our calling and bringing us to see the very Christ whom God raised from the dead, seated in the heavenlies, who has caused all things to be subject under his feet and made head over all things. Amen. All these precedes verse 22, showing us that we need to see here at this point the very Christ who rose from the dead, who ascended to the heavens. He has all things subjected under his feet, and now he became head. He is the head over all things to the church. It is not until now the church came into being. It is not until the head is brought forth can the church come forth. The church is a result, is an issue of the headship of Christ. If there's no head, there's no body. I don't know whether the doctors agree. When a fetus conceived in the mother's womb, the child, when that little seed begins as it develops, beginning from the development of the head, and the body, the limbs come out from the head. That's what my knowledge. But this is according to the Bible. Even as we read in Ephesians 4, out from whom, who is the head, right? Out from the head, all the body. If there's no head, there will be no body. When we say the body of Christ, we are not talking about a democratic society where everybody... Yes, we don't have a dictator, we don't have a strong control, we love one another, everyone is equal footing, you know, everybody has a vote. That's not the body either. That's democracy. The body is an organism under the headship of Christ. The whole body is out from the head. So Ephesians 1 shows us clearly the church is not revealed until the head is brought forth. Now, through his resurrection, his ascension, having all things made under his feet, now he is made head. Amen. Over all things to the church. Amen. The church is the body of Christ, is under the headship of Christ. Then C says, Christ, as the one who fills all in all, needs the body to be his fullness. This body is the church to be his fullness. This point touches the fact that the church, as the body of Christ, is not only under the head, under the headship of Christ, but this body is the fullness. It's the fullness of the one who fills all in all. I don't have the words, the utterance to express this. The Bible tells us Christ is the one who fills all in all. Our Christ is universally great. He is unlimited. He fills the whole universe. He fills all. He is in all. Tonight, he is not just as one sitting in our midst. He fills all. Amen. He fills every corner. He fills every space. He is in all. Such a universally vast Christ, he needs a body that is matching him to express his vastness. The body is the expression, right? As the fullness, and the brother also help us to understand, appreciate the fullness. Fullness actually is a result, is an issue of all the unsearchable riches of Christ. Right? Here, Josiah, can you come up here? Well, he is, you're what, 6'4"? 6'4", yeah. Brother Dick always, you know, when Brother Lee was here, Brother Lee many times used Brother Dick as an illustration, but now I want to use him as an illustration because Dick Taylor said Josiah is a big guy, even bigger than me. He is the fullness of America. Amen. Right? Filled with American beef, American chicken, American, all the riches of America. Here is the fullness of America. With all these riches constituting to become such a fullness. Now Christ, he wants us to enjoy his unsearchable riches to make us his body, his fullness.
Amen.
You look at this guy, you enjoy wow, how rich America is. He is the fullness of America. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Christ needs a body that is full to express him. We know in the actual state, the body of Christ today, we have some fullness, but not that full. That's why in Ephesians 4, it talks about until we all arrive, we are still on our way. Until we all arrive at the oneness of the faith, of the full knowledge of the Son of God, and of the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This is what I'm praying for. Lord, bring your church, your body to this state, that we may have a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What is the fullness of Christ? This Christ is unlimitedly great, described as the breadth, the length, the height, the depth. He is the dimension of the universe. He is immeasurably great, but he needs a body, the means, a vehicle for him to be expressed. So the Lord has to grow in us, has to increase in us, has to be expanded in us. I pray in the days to come, the head will continue to transmit all his riches into us. Amen. That we may, through our enjoyment of the unsearchable riches of Christ, we may become the fullness of Christ, Amen. The increase of Christ, the expansion of Christ for his expression. Amen. I don't care how majestic those cathedrals, those church buildings are. They cannot express Christ one bit. They cause people to admire of how the architecture and all the design of things, but they don't give you an impression, a taste of Christ. But today in the Lord's recovery, he's recovering the church, which is his body, Amen. To be the fullness of this one who fills all in all. Amen. I particularly like, the verse in chapter 4, verse 10, Ephesians, where Paul says, who is the one who descended, who ascended, but the one who descended? He descends, he ascends, that he may fill all things. Paul described this one as the one who descended. He came down through incarnation. He descended to the earth. And then through death, he descended to Hades. And then in resurrection, he ascended back to the earth. And through ascension, he ascended to the third heavens. Amen. He traversed the whole universe. And Paul says that he may fill all things. Amen. Our Christ fills the whole universe. Isn't he filling your universe? Your personal universe? Through his traversing in your heart, in your situation, he is filling you up. He allows you to go down. He allows you to go up. God allows in his sovereignty many things to come our ways. Some are positive, some are negative. Sometimes some things cause us to go up, some things cause us to go down. But nevertheless, when we allow this Christ to traverse, he is the one who ascends. He's the one also who descends in order to fill all things. Amen. Isn't this true in your experience? After some ascension, some descension, oh, you just feel Christ fills you up. Amen. The church is such a fullness, filled with this Christ who fills all things, so that we may be his expression. Indeed, the church is the body of Christ, and Christ is the head of the church. Hence, the church and Christ are one body. Amen. The mysterious, universal, great man, having the same life and nature. You cannot separate Christ from the church. You cannot separate the church from Christ. Christ and the church are one. Just like you cannot separate my head from my body. He said, oh, Brother James Lee, I love you. I love your head. I don't like your body. There's no such thing. You take my head, take my body too. Christ and the church, Christ and his body are one. Amen. That's why Ephesians 5:32 tells us, the mystery is great, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. The great mystery is not just about Christ, but Christ and the church, which is his body. Christ is the head, and the church is the body. Together, this universally great man is one. It's the mystery of mysteries. Number one says Christ is the life and content of the body, and the body is the organism and the expression of Christ. Christ is our content. Christ is our life. That gives us existence, that gives us meaning, that gives us the vitality. And we as the church, we are the very organism expressing this life. Number two, as the body, the church receives everything from Christ. Therefore, everything of Christ is expressed through the church. This very Christ, after being incarnated, he was crucified, he resurrected, he ascended to the third heavens. Now, he is made head over all things to the church. This simple preposition, to, implies a transmission. He is transmitting himself to us right now. Amen. The heavenly Christ, our head, is transmitting to us. We are here as his body. He is our head. He is transmitting everything we need to us right now. Amen. I'm under his transmission. Amen. I pray and I believe I'm speaking out from his transmission. Amen. When his transmission stops, I stop. Nothing. Whatever we do, whatever we have, comes from him. He is the source. He is the transmission. He is the supply. The church life, as the body, as this organism, is constantly under this transmission. Whether you feel it, you don't feel it, the body, if this is the body of this Christ, then this body is connected to the head and is constantly under this transmission. We receive everything from Christ, and we express everything of Christ through us. The two, Christ and the church, as his body, are mingled and joined as one, with Christ being the inward content and the church being the outward expression. You cannot separate Christ and his body. Christ and his body, Christ and us are mingled together. So when we talk about the church as the body of Christ, we are talking of something very mysterious, something very profound. It is not just some kind of gathering. It is not just some kind of a system. No, the body is this organism who is joined to the head under a constant transmission from the head to give her the existence, to give her the supply, that this body becomes the expression, the means for this head to be expressed. So this is the body of Christ. Amen. Amen. Not an organization, but it's a marvelous organism.
Amen.
How does such a body come into being? We saw in these last couple of meetings, our God, according to his eternal will, he desires to have the church. In eternity past, it is God's will to have the church. His purpose is the church. His goal is the church. And in time, God himself came in the person of Jesus Christ. He was incarnated as a man. And as he was walking on the earth, one day he told his disciples, "I will build my church."
Amen.
The very church that was in the heart of God in eternity past, as part of his will, his eternal will. Now, as a man, Jesus Christ, he came and told his disciples, "I will build my church."
Amen.
There in Caesarea Philippi, he opened up his heart to his followers. This is why he came to the earth, not only to accomplish, to die on the cross, to die for our sins, to accomplish redemption. He came, he opened up his heart to his followers, "I will build my church. The gates of Hades shall not prevail."
Amen.
And a short time after he spoke this, he was being put to the cross. In fact, after he spoke this, "I will build my church," right away he told the disciples, I will be suffering. People will persecute me, will put me to die, cause me to put me to death. But in 3 days, I will rise in resurrection. He realized, he knew what was before him. But he made such a strong proclamation as a prophecy. He will build his church.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for my church.
Amen.
And a short time later, indeed, he was put to the cross. He was being crucified there. But after 3 days, he rose from the dead in resurrection. Death could not hold him. Hades could not keep him. Our Christ resurrected, and he became a life-giving spirit. As a pneumatic Christ, he came back to visit his disciples who were in a closed room with a door locked up. He suddenly appeared in this room. And he said to the disciples, "Peace be to you." They were all afraid. They were nervous. Their master was gone. Oh, the Jews are going to persecute them. But here, the pneumatic Christ suddenly appeared in their midst and told them, "Peace be to you."
Amen.
Then he just received the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He breathed himself as the life-giving spirit into those believers, into those disciples. In that moment, the body of Christ, the formation began. That life-giving spirit entering into the believers through Christ's breathing constitute these believers to be the building material, to be the constituents for the formation of the church as his body. Then Christ ascended to the third heavens, and there he had a transaction with the Father concerning the Spirit. The Son was there with the Father concerning the promise of the Spirit that the Father had in the Old Testament. And the Spirit was given as a gift to the Son, whom he poured out 50 days later upon all the 120 disciples praying there in Jerusalem. The Son received the Spirit from the Father. He poured that forth on the day of Pentecost and baptized those believers into one body.
Amen.
That was the formal formation of the body of Christ. 50 days before that, there was the breathing of the Spirit into the disciples to constitute their inner being, for their spiritual existence to be the constituents of the body of Christ. And 50 days later, on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit, the consummated Spirit, was poured forth upon these believers, confirming Paul's word in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, in one Spirit, we were all baptized in one body. Brother Ron gave us a definition of the church. You still remember? What is the church? The church is the corporate expression of Christ, who is the embodiment of the process triune God. The very Christ, he is the embodiment of the process triune God. He came through the process of his incarnation, his human living, his death, his resurrection. Now he became a life-giving Spirit to be breathed into the disciples, to become their life, to become their inner constituent, to constitute the body. And he returned after receiving the Spirit from the Father to be the consummated Spirit to be poured out upon the believers in Jerusalem. So the body came into being. And according to Paul, he says in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, for in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Now we are given to drink one Spirit.
Amen.
The baptism, the breathing of the Spirit, had taken place already in the evening of the resurrection. The pouring out of the Spirit upon the believers also had taken place already on the day of Pentecost. But Paul reveals to us, in order for this body, which has been formed now, which has been produced now, this body needs to grow, this body needs to increase, this body needs to be enlarged, we need to continue to drink of the Spirit.
Amen.
Oh, we need to be filled with the Spirit.
Amen.
Dear saints, without the Spirit, there's no body.
Amen.
Ephesians 4:3, Paul tells us, one body, one Spirit. The Spirit is the essence of the body. The body is the expression of the Spirit. For us tonight, if we come together, just as good boys, good girls, good Christians coming here to study, to learn about the Bible, that is just in our mind, that is not the body. The body is being expressed when you and I were exercising our spirit.
Amen.
In our singing, in our praying, in our prophesying. Flowing of the Spirit, the body right away is expressed.
Amen.
More Spirit, more body.
Amen.
No Spirit, no body. One body and one Spirit, they go together.
Amen.
The church, which is his body. One body, one Spirit. So as you can see, how is this body come into being? Through the resurrected Christ, this as the embodiment of the process triune God, breathing himself as the life-giving Spirit into the believers, and also pouring himself forth as the consummated Spirit upon the believers. And now, day by day, moment by moment, we are drinking of this Spirit.
Amen.
When we call, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, oh, Lord Jesus, we are drinking of this Spirit.
Amen.
This Spirit animates, vivifies the body of Christ. I wish I would say, Lord Jesus, in that cathedral, in that dead place. Oh, Lord Jesus. That place supposed to be the body of Christ. The church, for God's expression, is full of deadness, full of darkness. That's not the church. The church is a place full of life, full of the Spirit. The Spirit is the essence of the body. So I hope you would be impressed by this. It is through Christ's breathing of His Spirit into us, through His pouring out of His Spirit upon us, and through our drinking of His Spirit, now, day by day, more of this process, God, is being added to us. There will be the increase of Christ. There will be the enlargement of Christ until we arrive at the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This is what the Lord is waiting for now. His body is already in existence, but still in stature is still small. We need to have this aspiration. Lord, increase in me a little bit more today than yesterday. Amen. Keep me drinking you in. Amen. We come to the meeting to take a drink. Amen. We rise in the morning when we say, Lord Jesus, thank you for today. We take a drink. Amen. We keep drinking in the Spirit. Let the Spirit fill us moment by moment, that He may increase, that He may we may become His enlargement, His expansion, to be the fullness of this one who fills all in all. Amen. Now we come to see how we experience, how we enjoy such a body. We come to Roman numeral 2. The church, as the body of Christ, is the corporate Christ. Amen. This is based on 1 Corinthians 12:12. We read, Even as there are many members in one body, yet all the members, being many, are just one body. So also is the Christ. Logically, what Paul was talking about is the body, which has many members. He should have said, so also is the body. So also is the church, as the body of Christ, which has many members, but still one. But instead, he says, even as the body is as one and has so many members, and all the members, being many, are still one body, so also is Christ. This body that Paul was describing is the Christ. There are these two aspects of Christ. One is the individual aspect of Christ, the personal Christ, the Christ who was walking on the earth as a man, right, in Palestine for those 33 and a half years. That was an individual, personal Christ. But after Christ's resurrection and His ascension, after He is pouring Himself forth as the consummated Spirit, baptizing His believers into one body, the Christ now is not only just an individual Christ, He is now the body Christ. Amen. With the Jews, they know God as the Creator God, the God who created heaven and earth. With the fundamental Christians, they experience God a little further, the incarnated God, God who has become a man, and who died for their sins. He is the redeeming God. And with some more seeking, deeper life Christians, they know God even more further. They know God as the one who has been processed through death and resurrection, now becoming a life-giving Spirit to dwell in their spirit. They experience the indwelling Christ. But this is still not yet the highest. The highest must be us in the Lord's recovery, that we know this Christ not only as the one He created the universe, He came to be incarnated as a man who redeemed us from our sins, and He indwells us, but now He and we have been incorporated together. Amen. To become one. Not only that He is in us, but also we are in Him. Amen. In John 14, verse 20, it says that in that day, that is the day of resurrection, You shall know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. There is an incorporation. There was an incorporation between the Son and the Father. The Son is in the Father. The Father is in the Son. But now, in his resurrection, the Lord has enlarged that incorporation to include us. Amen. Now, he lives in us as the Spirit, and he also brings us into himself. Amen. He is in us, and we are in him. Amen. This incorporation has been enlarged. Of course, we are never included in his Godhead as the Creator. No, never. But we are included in him, in life, in nature, to be one with him. Today, our Christ, the body today, is a body Christ. Amen. It's a corporate Christ. Amen. Our Christ is not only the Creator Christ, the redeeming Christ, the indwelling Christ. He is the incorporated Christ. Amen. Who has been incorporated with us by dwelling in us, by bringing us to be dwelling in him. Like he says in John 15, abide in me and I in you. There is a mutual abiding. He is in us and we are in him. There is this incorporation. Now God and man are fully mingled together and fully become one. Oh, dear saints, may the Lord open our eyes to see the body of Christ is not only just the body to this Christ, the body of Christ is Christ. It's the body Christ. There is such a revelation opened up to us through the ministry of the age. Today we are in the stage, not just of the body of Christ. We are today in the stage of this body Christ. Christ and the body incorporated together to become one. You cannot separate Christ from his body, the body from this Christ. Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. This is too marvelous. Amen. Let me go on to point A in 1 Corinthians 12:12. The Christ is not the individual Christ, but the corporate Christ, the body Christ, composed of Christ himself as the head and the church as his body, with all the believers as his members. The Bible considers Christ and the church as one mysterious Christ. The two have been joined together to become one mysterious Christ, the body Christ. All the believers of Christ are organically united with him and constituted of his life and element to become his body, an organism to express him. As a vine includes not only the stalk, but also the branches. So the corporate Christ, the body Christ, includes not only Christ himself, but also all the members of Christ's body, who are the members of Christ, parts of Christ. When you say, when you look at a vine tree, okay, this is the vine tree, you're not referring to the stalk, you're not referring to just the stem. You're referring to the whole thing. In fact, with a vine tree, there are more branches than the stalk. Right? Usually the stalk is quite small, the stem is quite small, but it's branches all over. So this is the vine tree. When Christ says, I am the true vine, what does it mean? Does he refer only to that piece of the stem, the stalk? He refers all of us, all the branches together, comprised this vine. Christ today is not just the head Christ. He is the body Christ. Amen. You cannot say, well, you recognize my face. This face is James Lee. This head is James Lee. This body is not James. This is the body of James Lee. Nonsense. This body is James Lee. You cannot say, well, the head is James Lee and this is the body of James Lee. My body is just as much as my head. If my head is James Lee, my body is James Lee. So not only Christ, the head, he is Christ. His body is also Christ. Amen. Today, we are in the age of not only the body of Christ, we are in the age of the body Christ. Amen. Christ and his body have been incorporated together to be one, to become one. Today, in our experience, in our enjoyment of the body of Christ, we must have this realization that we love the Lord, we enjoy Christ, who is our Savior, who is our Lord, who is our supply. But this Christ, he is the head of the body. Now he is incorporated with his body to become this corporate Christ, this body Christ. And for me to say I enjoy him, I also must be in the church life. I must be in his body. I cannot live without Christ. I cannot live without his body. As I testified to you yesterday, that because of the vision the Lord has shown me concerning his eternal purpose, I realize Christ and the church is my destiny. It's the meaning of my life. If there's no church, I cannot go to that place. Even though however much I want to go to that school, if there's no church, forget it. How can I live my Christian life? Christ and the church is the meaning of my life. Today, we are not only churching. We are not only just merely living our Christian life, reading the Bible, seeking to be spiritual. We are living in the body Christ. When you're living in the body Christ, there's no time, there's no opportunity, no chance to be depressed, to go down, or no chance to be, you feel something special about yourself. You are just in the body. You will never become proud about yourself because you accomplish something, you become something. And also you will not become discouraged, disappointed at yourself because you are not so absolute as you would like to be. You just live in your body. You're just a member in the body. You enjoy a body life that just carries you on. I've been saved now, this year, 51 years. I was saved in the church in the Far East. In these 51 years, I have not left the church. Every day, every week, I'm always somehow with some people, God's people, with the meetings. It doesn't mean that I'm always up. It doesn't mean that I'm always strong. That meaning I'm nobody. I have my weak points. I have my shortcomings. But one thing that by the Lord's mercy I have been preserved is that in the body. I just moved with the body. I went through a turmoil in the Far East, a big serious turmoil. It was fighting, physical fighting. I was a high schooler at that time. But that fighting did not get me out of the church. I just hang in there. I went through the turmoil with the church. Went through the turmoil, a couple of turmoils in this country. We go up with the church. We go down with the church. You just stay with the church. It's not always high. It's not always exciting. It's not always victorious. But it doesn't matter. I'm in the body. And whatever the body goes through, I go through with it. Amen. That's why I say, I don't mean that I don't have down days. Just when you're down, open up to the saints. Well, I'm not doing so well. I need your supply. You don't just because you're down, you say, well, I'm not worthy of the church. I'm not good for this. Forget about it. And you go off to do something else. No matter you're up, you're down, stay with the body. Amen. If you want to backslide, backslide with the brothers. Backslide with the brothers. Don't go off by yourself. Saints, today we are enjoying and experiencing the body Christ. Amen. In the body, Christ is here. You cannot separate Christ and his body. And because of this Christ who is in the body, I have been supplied, I have been preserved. Indeed, not because I can do something or I am something. No, not at all. I'm just like all of us. But the But the preserving factor is by us remaining, enjoying the body.
Amen.
You compare, you come to a meeting, even the lowest meeting, compared to staying at home by yourself. You get more Christ in the lowest meeting
Amen.
Than staying at home by yourself reading the Bible.
Amen.
If you agree with me, raise your hand.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Really? Sometimes you feel, I don't want to come to the meeting and you know this and that. Oh, even in, drag your tired body to the meeting. Just being there. You just, the body supplies you.
Amen.
This body Christ is real.
Amen.
Body and Christ and his body are one.
Amen.
It's not just we are with a nice group of people who are very energetic, very zealous. No, it's not just that. Today, the body, Christ is with his body,
Amen.
Incorporated with his body. Now this is the body Christ.
Amen.
Yesterday, a sister asked me about, you know, when we pray, do we ask the Lord, Lord, please bind this for us. Bind this for us. Can we say, Lord, we bind? I said, well, it depends. If you realize you are the body Christ, you can bind. Your binding is the Lord's binding.
Amen.
We have to exercise the authority the Lord has given to us. We are not just here begging Christ to do something. If we are, we realize our position, we are the body Christ today.
Amen.
What we exercise, what we declare, is what Christ declares. It's not a small thing. When the church says, we bind, the head says, yes, because I already bound.
Amen.
When we say, we release, the head says, yes, I already released. Today, we are in the Lord's recovery. The Lord's recovery is enjoying and experiencing a particular aspect of Christ, of the body. That is the body Christ. Here, I just don't have the utterance to express more to you, but this is too marvelous. By the time you enter the New Jerusalem, you cannot discern where is God's redeemed people, and where is God? God and his redeemed are thoroughly mingled, incorporated together.
Amen.
The temple built by his redeemed, we built together to be built up together to be his temple. But then John says, I don't see the temple anymore. God and the Lamb are the temple. I thought the temple are the redeemed, being built together. And now, in the New Jerusalem, the temple is no more, because God and the Lamb are the temple.
Amen.
Is it God or is it man? Is it the redeemed or is it God? Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because we have a body Christ.
Amen.
Incorporated Christ. Here, the body and Christ are one, incorporated together. So I encourage you, the saints, whether you feel you are good, worthy, unworthy, strong, weak, it doesn't matter. We all end up in the New Jerusalem, right? In the meantime, just stay with the body. Come to the meeting, enjoy the saints. Enjoy the church.
Amen.
The Christ is here. It's not always exciting. You know, we had turmoils, we had troubles, we have conflicts. That's okay. Stay with the body.
Amen.
Just stay with the body. Then you'll be preserved, you'll be protected, you'll be supplied. Okay, number one. Under B, Christ is the element, the factor that makes us parts of him. In order to be parts of Christ, members of his body, we must have Christ wrought into our being. The church can be the body of Christ, the corporate Christ, only as the members are constituted of Christ, possessing his life and his nature. So as the body of Christ, we must be constituted with Christ. We must breathe Christ. We must drink Christ. We must eat Christ. Day by day, we just feast on this Christ, right? Who is being constituted into us little by little to make us indeed the body of Christ. Now, C says the baptism into the one body has positioned us all to drink of the one Spirit, and by drinking of the Spirit, we are constituted to be the body, the corporate Christ. It is so wonderful to just be able to call on the Lord together with all of you. Amen. You know, Brother Ron mentioned, next year we'll go to Taiwan in February, meeting with 30,000 saints. Can you imagine calling on the Lord with 30,000 saints? Amen. Drinking together. I mean, you realize, you know, you were just with a church of 15 saints, 18 saints. You know, like the church in Addis Ababa, right? When we first met them, they didn't know any better. They thought they read Washmanese books, and they thought they were the only church on the whole earth. And that was in December, when we first met them. And then in February, we invited them, happened to be the gathering in Taiwan. And the three brothers went to Taiwan. Suddenly, whoa! The body of Christ, 20,000 people, you know? So many places. They thought they were the only groups who are practicing according to this way. And suddenly, wow, they just say, wow, the body of Christ is much bigger than what we thought. Yes, when you look at the 18 saints, 20 saints in the locality, sometimes you get a little discouraged, or we are just a small group. We are so. No, you are not small. Amen. You are vast.
Amen.
You are the body of Christ.
Amen.
The fullness of this one who fills all in all. We are part of this body, Christ. Oh, saints, we need to have this kind of a seeing, this kind of a vision. Instead of looking at ourselves, or how am I doing? Do I feel good? Am I up to it? Am I qualified? Forget about it. Whether you feel qualified, not qualified, you end up in the same place.
Amen.
We're all heading to the New Jerusalem.
Amen.
And in the meantime, why not enjoy the body, Christ?
Amen.
Let the body carry you.
Amen.
Let the body supply you.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Then, by drinking the Spirit, we experience the dispensing of the divine Trinity into our being and are constituted to be the body. The more we drink the one Spirit, the more the divine element becomes our constituent to make us the one body, the body of Christ.
Amen.
I believe the head is doing this, even though we are still small. I mean, compared to the whole Christian population, compared to the population of the world, we are just a speck. We are just a small number. But here, dear saints, we are the Lord's recovery.
Amen.
The Lord is recovering the church. The church as the body of Christ. This is real thing. This is something real going on. All the facade outside, those are all will pass away. Those will all vanish away. But what is going on in all the little churches, at the little golden lampstands, as long as we are here every day drinking of the Spirit, receiving this heavenly transmission, Christ is being added to us, increasing in us, making us his expansion, his enlargement, for us to arrive at this measurement, this stature of the fullness of Christ. We will get there. Because this is God's will.
Amen.
This is his purpose.
Amen.
He is doing this in our midst.
Amen.
So we have to let him. We have to allow him by just remaining in the body of Christ.
Amen.
Now let me conclude with the last point. How do we cooperate with the Lord to build up this body of Christ? The last point, Romans 3, for the building up of the body of Christ, we need to practice the scriptural way to meet and to serve. We read the two verses. Here are two verses. We read 1 Corinthians 14, 26, where Paul tells us, whenever you come together as the church, each one has. In the normal meeting of the church, every member functions. Whatever portion, each one has a hymn, has a psalm, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Each one has. Someone may have a little bit more, someone has a little bit less, but each one has something. In order to build up the body of Christ, as we read in Ephesians 4:16, out from him all the body being joined and knit together through every joint of the rich supply, and through the operation of each part in measure. That causes the growth of the body and the building up of the body by itself in love. The body builds up itself. Look at how do you build up your body? Josiah, how did you grow from your, when you were born? I don't know how big were you? 8 pounds, 9 pounds, 10 pounds, you know. Anyway, now you are much, much bigger. Did your father and mother put more meat on you? Okay, another piece of meat on you, another piece of chicken? No. That's not how he grew up to be such a big guy. He just eat and drink, right? And the baby is drinking milk, and then as he grew up further, he take in solid food. And then little by little, by all the digestion, by the assimilation, all the foods, all the nutrients helping us to grow. The food helps this person to grow, builds up this body by itself. Nobody helps to slap some pieces of meat on him to make him some the big guy. But the body knows exactly what to do. The body builds up itself. So today, according to the way that is shown to us in the scripture, we call this the scriptural way or the God-ordained way. It's not a way that is seen and practiced in tradition, in Christianity today. That is man's way. Just have one person, the pastor, the professional class, doing everything on behalf of the layman. That is fallen Christianity. The Lord, for us in the Lord's recovery, to build up this organic body of Christ. Remember, we are not building an organization. We are building an organism. Amen. Of which we are all a part of. And there is life in each one of us. That life is your capital. To build up this body together. Ron and I, we come here to minister something to you, but we cannot build up the body here directly. The saints here build up the churches here directly. Amen. Each one has. Every time the church comes together, it's not looking to the leading ones, the elders, the co-workers. Each one has. You bring, just like in a potluck dinner, I bring a string beans, and you bring some salad, you bring a bowl of soup. Everyone brings something. Amen. That's how the body builds up itself. Amen. This is the God-ordained way to cause every member to function. Amen. No one should over-function. No one should under-function. Everyone has the life needed for the building of this body. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, where Paul says, let us consider one another so as to incite one another to love and to good works. And by not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, especially when we see the days approaching, we have to not forsaking our assembling. That means that each one of us, all of us, we must have our own meeting, our own assembling. You are not attending the elders, the meeting called by the elders, called by the leading ones of the church. The meeting, it is your meeting. Everyone should have your own meeting to go to, right? This place, this meeting may be held in your home, right? You gather with a few families. This is your little home meeting. You gather together with the saints, you fellowship. You blend, you shepherd each other. This is how we go on. Just like in the church in Jerusalem in the early days, they met from house to house. The saints just gathered in a small way. They don't all just always gather together in corporately to listen to the apostles' teaching, the apostles speaking. They just gathered in the little homes here and there. They all have their own meetings to go to, considering one another, inciting one another. not relying on a clergy class to tell them what to do or to do everything on their behalf, but everyone considering one another, inciting one another. Now, A says, without the biblical way for us to meet and to serve, the way that is shown in the New Testament, the Lord's words concerning the building up of the church cannot be fulfilled. The Lord says, I will build my church, and that word has to be fulfilled. But our lack in our practice may cause this to be delayed. May the Lord strengthen us, stir us up, rekindle our heart, our spirit, to see that now we are in the body, right? We have been baptized into one body. Now we are drinking of the Spirit. We are living in the body life, in the body Christ, enjoying Christ as the supply, as the constant transmission. But now we want to cooperate with our head to build up this body by considering one another, coming together, practicing 1 Corinthians 14:26, each one has.
Amen.
Right? This is the church meeting that we all speak. We all speak something of Christ, overflowing something of the enjoyment of Christ to build up one another in a mutual way. If we don't practice this, there will be no way for Matthew 8:16-18 to be fulfilled, or it will be delayed. So may the Lord burden us, not only that we would see what the body is and enjoy the body, but also would cooperate with the Lord to build up this body. In 1 Corinthians 14:26 and Hebrews 10:24-25 are not fulfilled, there is no way for the building up of the church as the body of Christ. What the Lord spoke has to be fulfilled. No words of His will return back to Him void. What He spoke will be fulfilled.
Amen.
So, and we know the time is close, is short. We don't want to delay Him any longer. We want to cooperate with Him, seeing what He has been showing to us, even in this conference. We want to render the cooperation with Him, to have a practice according to the way that is revealed in the Scripture, the way ordained by Him. The Lord desires to recover the organic building up of the church or the body of Christ. The organic building up of the body of Christ is the increase of the triune God in the believers for their growth in Christ. The Lord desires to recover the church meetings in mutuality with all prophesying, speaking for the Lord, for the building up of the church. Prophesying is the excelling way to dispense the riches of Christ into God's people for the organic building up of the body of Christ.
Amen.
May this be the practice in all the churches here and all over the earth. We're here to build up this organism.
Amen.
The more you see this organic body of Christ, the more you are burdened. We must practice the God-ordained way. Forsake, put away the traditional way. The way of just one man speaking, everybody just follows, listening. That is a way of degradation. That is the way of clergy laity. That annuls the functioning of the member. The body can only be built up by the members themselves.
Amen.
May the Lord recover this among us.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for the body of Christ,
Amen.
The organism of the triune God.
Amen.
Shall we have a minute of prayer with the one next to us, and then we can have some time of overflowing.